Wear it. I'll go ahead and call the Board of Works and Safety to order. It's Tuesday, July 24th at 5:20 p.m. Roll call, please.
Daniel.
Here.
Legal. Here.
Crowder. Present.
In front of you are the minutes from the July 10th meeting. I did have one note on page 3 of your packet, second paragraph. Attorney McNagney advised.
Advised was misspelled.
So that's the only change I had. Although it did bring up something else, but I can have that here in a moment. So I didn't have any other changes to the minutes. Okay, then I'll have a motion to approve.
Move that we accept the minutes as presented with the correction.
Okay. I will second then. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. Next up is the permit to install a new driveway at 110 Mulberry Street. Jeff, did you work on this one? Or
it's Kelly.
Kelly. Okay, sorry, Kelly.
Yeah, it's just a... he's building a garage, and his driveway is going to come out to that corner right there. And there's no curb. He won't be cutting into the street or cutting a curb or anything. It'll just be a concrete driveway coming up to that corner right there. So.
Is there any concerns about it being on the curb?
I don't think so. As far as I'm concerned, there's not.
Just have to go by there. There's no line of sight problem.
I say it's pretty.
Yeah, I don't like it very heavily.
I say it's a very.
Yeah.
Not very heavy.
I just didn't know if we have, if there's any issues with that. Historically, if we've ever.
I think the limitations of a. I mean, there is some guidelines of how close to another driveway that you can put a driveway right on, but this is, I mean, I look at it, I look at it, so, I mean, I didn't see it.
Okay. I don't have a problem with it, so.
I make a motion that we approve the permit for the curb cut located at 110 Mulberry Street.
Second.
Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Next up, pay request, Donahue.
Certainly, this is for the miscellaneous improvements project out of the treatment facility. The period that Donahue is billing for covers two progress meetings, some review of shop drawings, as well as interacting, engaging the general contractor on some previously unknown locations of pipes. When they started excavating, they came across some. And I don't know whether we've shared this with the board in the past or not, but because of all the projects over the years, we really feel like that some of the record drawings, the as-builds, well, they obviously were not complete. And otherwise, we would have known that these pipes existed there. But this was from projects several years ago. So they will be part of the new record drawings that will be turned in, but you end up having that on occasion. Everything is in order. I believe that this has already been submitted to SRF for approval, or review and approval under the loan 2. Do my recommendation the board act favorably in the sum of $3,389.46.
Any questions of Jeff? I have a motion.
I move that we accept that we go ahead and pay the County of Associates on the invoice number 12148-05, $3,389.46.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Next up are the bills. Were there any questions you had or discrepancies in the bills? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the bills?
$878,885.68.
Okay.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor show their usual sign. Unanimous. Please pay the bills, Rosie. Okay. Next up is the department reports, and what we'll do is we'll skip through outside of those that are not in the utilities. So we'll start with Tom. Do you want to give your report?
Well, the only thing I have to report this evening is that the county's burn ban was lifted by the county commissioners today. The mayor and I met shortly thereafter, and we also lifted the city's burn ban. We believe that the conditions were at such a place that we thought it would be appropriate to go ahead and do so, and we will be keeping an eye on the weather to make sure that and the conditions to make sure we don't return to its prior situation. So that's good news.
How are you? How's your runs been looking lately?
Runs for the last month or a month and a half have been down, and part of that is because Kathy Shively met with the Chiefs Association. Her and I had spoke, and she came to the Chiefs Association and said that we're trying to reduce the number of med runs that we are going on. If they're not what we consider what a priority one or seriously life-threatening, they're taking a second look to see if they're going to be sending us. So. The good news is we're only our run volume has reduced. Let's sum it up.
I think that's both good news, actually.
Yeah.
Questions of Tom? Thank you, Tom. Tim.
Last week we had another command meeting. We're discussing some upcoming changes to our department policy manual. Kind of make a list of the policies we need to address next. So we're kind of prioritize that list, and we also talked about department activity. I'm in the process of meeting with each officer individually, just having a one-on-one with the guys. I have 11 of those completed, 7 more to go. We had training session last week for our response to an active shooter situation. It's actually the second training we've had this year. It's mandated that all officers attend that. We are reviewing a new option for in-car cameras. We had a demo from Federal Signal, and I think we're going to look into installing one of those cameras in our cars. It's a new system, has some new features I think that will be really nice for us, so we're going to get one of those installed and see how that new system works for us compared to the cameras that we have in our cars now. I've met with the training officer to review our mid-year training hours for each officer, see where we stand with the state mandated trainings. And the rest of Thursday and Friday this week, and then the beginning of next week, I'll be out of the office on vacation. That's it.
Is the cameras that you're looking at, is that a effort between city and county, or just at this time you're just evaluating this particular one?
In the past, most of our cameras are purchased through the prosecutor's office,
right,
and they've kind of gone with the same system for many years. So we decided to take a look at some other options and see what's out there. I think this new system has some new features I think that would be really nice for us to utilize, so we're going to try it out and see how it works, and maybe look into slowly outfitting everybody with new systems. We still have 4 VHS systems that we need to get replaced, so that's our number one goal, is to get rid of those and go with digital systems.
I guess my thought is Matt and him know that you're looking at this?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's why I just didn't want to lose that funding source.
No, we've talked with Mike Christie about this,
okay,
and the prosecutor. He's aware of the new system, and basically has stated if we believe it's a better system, then we'll try it out and
good.
See
okay.
what happens.
Thanks.
Other questions of Tim? Thanks, Tim. Mark?
We had a 5K race a couple Saturdays ago that was for our fireworks, and we had ended up with about 60 runners and made about $1,000, so we were happy for that. Pool's still operating, going well. It's rained the last couple of days. It's kind of slowed things down there a little bit. We had a tournament last weekend. I think there were 45 teams from all over the state that were here, baseball teams. I did notice you see a lot of, it's kind of fun to see a lot of them at the restaurants and around town. So I know that definitely it impacted our community by having visitors, which I thought was really good. Right now we're in the middle of JFL registration. That ends Friday, and really kind of getting a lot of last minute people coming in. So it stays kind of busy in the office. We also have cleaned our storage area and kind of organized our baseball equipment, softball equipment that came in, and also the football equipment for distribution here in a couple weeks. We have a youth golf tournament this Thursday out of Eagle Glen, and Andrea's been putting those on, does a really good job. Those have kind of steadily gotten bigger. We have about 18 kids playing in it, so it's kind of neat to see the kids come out. Valero sponsors that, so Rusty Parrish is helping us out with that. And we're working on finishing an office for Melinda in our office. We've converted our garage into an office, and almost done. It looks real nice, and excited to finish that project up. And then, of course, mowing. We were able to mow the front of the park. It looks a million times better than it did. But just, you're kind of mowing more weeds, but it does look better. That's what we're doing.
Questions, Mark?
When you bring these outside attorneys in, I think it's great that they're coming in. I was just wondering, is there any kind of consideration to have some kind of a fee set up as far as a deposit? Let's say, because if they leave the place, they either trash or things that are broken after that tournament leaves, that maybe at least we'd have, say, $100 or $200 to help repair the things that were broken. I was down there last night, and somebody had got into the concession stand and turned on the air conditioner, and the ceiling fan was running.
Which concession stand are you talking about?
Down at the quad.
Which, that's been running all summer.
The air conditioner?
The one down below?
All the time.
The one down below has been running, yes.
Okay, well, that door was broken into, and I couldn't get it locked last night to save my life. Had to get it shut up.
But we didn't use that area for the tournament at all this weekend.
I just wondered if somebody down there got into it or what. No. I didn't know it was broken because I couldn't lock the door at all. I mean, you type your numbers in, but the thing would rotate. I called it in this morning to have somebody go look at it.
Yeah, we never went in there at all this weekend.
Okay. I just thought, well,
but they are.
When there is trash all around, I would like to expect that tournament for whatever they're making. They should be able to clean the place up, too.
Right.
And they're using our facility. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, when I was down there last night, not that our people don't do that, too. But
yeah.
Right down as well. But when an outside attorney comes in and I see pop bottles and all kinds of stuff lying around, I think that ought to be up to the
Running
attorney as well to make sure it's clean.
Right. And it's just so they do pay to rent our fields, too. Just so I don't know if you knew that or not, but they do pay our field rental.
So what kind of, can you talk about the fee structure of how one of those tournaments works?
Sure. They pay, it's $75 for the day rental for one field.
For one field.
So if they use five fields, then it's $450 a day, if I did that math right. Yeah, $450 a day. We also get to keep all the proceeds from the concessions, which was very large this weekend. So that's the main money that you have coming in. We never have charged somebody for leaving it in bad shape. We pick up trash all the time from our own people, the following day.
Right.
So.
You have a staff person on duty on Saturdays, right?
We are down there a lot during the day, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, didn't you, your schedule rotation keep one of our members, employees working on a Saturday or weekend, or am I?
We don't have someone there all the hours of every day, no.
Okay.
We, like, on, for example, this past Saturday, we had three of us in there for 2 hours at three different times during the day. So 10 to 12, 4 to 6, 9 to 11, And there's times where I'm in and out of there too at different times.
But the shifting schedule has allowed you to put those people there. I mean, that flex, basically a flex schedule that you kind of have.
That's kind of what I was leading up to, that we had, you know, coverage.
Right.
And you had staff there that wasn't costing us because it was part of the weekly schedule.
Exactly.
Right. And so I'm just saying, I understand your point that, it, you know, if you rent anything, there's normally a deposit. I mean, it's no different than the pavilion, you know.
Right.
So I understand what you're saying, but you have to be able to prove that they broke whatever was broke. And I think that would be very challenging.
I guess, you know, before going in, I'd be looking at what condition the quad's in, so to speak, or, you know, the condition of the diamond. I just don't think it would be that.
Yeah, the quad.
Say, you know, that door was locked, and we know it was locked. And then, for some reason, somebody, how in the world they did it, because that thing just turned all the way around when we were down there. I'm like, how does somebody get into that thing? And I seen, you know, without the electricity being used, and run the air conditioner, and the ceiling fan, and a part of the building that I didn't even know was being used. That's what I was just concerned, that somebody got in there and turned everything all on.
Maybe they have. I mean, we haven't been down there since they were done Sunday night. We haven't had any games ourselves to get fields ready for. Okay. You know, so we'll have to check that lock, because I don't know
what condition it's in. I think Andrea said that they were going to send Matt down or something to take a look at it.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't see anything in there they could steal or would even want, but I wouldn't put anything past somebody for breaking stuff up either.
Yeah, it wasn't turning all the way around like you said on Saturday or Friday.
Well, the lock itself, you could
yeah, that wasn't doing that. So somewhere between then and now, something's not right with it.
Like I say, you could type in a code, but it wasn't doing anything.
Okay.
I mean, you could see the lights light up. But I don't even know what the code was myself to get into the thing. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Well, it could be something that we look at when we, in the future, you know, when we look at how, you know, obviously those tournaments sign contracts with you.
Right.
And maybe we can just put some kind of a small clause in there that says, you know, if there's blatant evidence of, you know, whatever, you know, the city has the right to, and that's maybe something we look at with Marcia, but the city has the right to bill for additional, or for damages by, or whatever. I mean, we can work out the language on that. Maybe that's something we want to, with that kind of...
Well, I think it's going to protect us for the unknown.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I think it's good business.
Yeah.
Kind of in the middle of looking at Fort Wayne's pavilion rental agreement also, which Marcia got for me. Thank you. to make some changes there, too.
Yeah, I thought that had some good...
It does, yeah.
Some good additions for us.
I just think it would make the officials of the tournament police the area a little better and take care of our facility.
Right.
Or at least reimburse us for the man hours that we'd have to take care of it afterwards.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Or a portion.
Or a portion. Very
good. Any other questions of Mark?
Nope. We're done picking on
you. Thanks, Mark.
Yep.
Kelly.
We were out at the City Ford property last week doing the final inspection of the sewer, which was air pressure and mandrel testing, and we just need to go out and televise it now, and we'll be completed on that sewer. And then Community Corrections went through the cemetery, helped us out getting small limbs and debris and bringing it out to the street. And we cleaned that up last week, and thank them guys for that. That's big help down there. And we had to sweep her out a few days last week, trying to get debris up from the storm out of catch basins and off the streets. And then installed the sign at the new parking lot. Finally got that in. So then we spent a few days or a day cleaning the shop and trucks up from the rain and getting things organized again back to the shop. And that's all I have at this time.
Questions of Kelly? Okay. Okay, thanks, Kelly. What I think we'll do is I have a couple of things, and then so we'll kind of go through as usual, and then we'll say sayonara to those department heads and keep the utility department heads, and then we'll go from there. That's okay with everyone? Dan, do you have anything to questions or any issues? Okay. A couple of things I wanted to let the board know about. First of all, you probably had the pleasure of seeing Tim and I, or at least pictures of Tim and I, participating in the Highland Games thing at the 4-H grounds, which I thought was a kind of a neat experience. Did not know I was going to be wearing a kilt, but ended up doing that anyways. So, proud to report that we have a team of over 20 people from the city that will be participating in the corporate challenge for the YMCA. So real pleased with that. That's for employees and spouses. Kind of a neat thing. And I think this is the first year the city's had a team, so that's kind of a cool thing. We'll see how that goes. Hopefully we'll be successful. We're working on a couple ringers in our different departments for some of the events. So facilitated a meeting between Steve Linville and the parent teacher group of Stepping Stones, and had a meeting there, checked out the facility. The facility was actually in very, I won't say very, but pretty good shape on the inside. There was no there really wasn't any that bad of stuff inside. There was not mold you could see. There was not water damage you could see. The wallpaper needed to be redone, and the playground needed to basically be bulldozed and restarted. I think there's still a lot of potential in that building. The upstairs needed some cleaning done, and both the building and the health inspector walked through with us at that same time. Building inspector, just from the the walkthrough inspection, felt pretty confident that the building was in good shape. Health inspector was going to put out a report. So, kind of an interesting little thing. I know that kind of in I tried to stay this far involved, and I still am. But there's a couple of different angles with me being on the whiteboard now. There's a lot of things happening. So, in any case, wanted to let you know about that. As you probably have heard, or maybe you knew, CC Deli was robbed a time back, and Tim and Detective Stevenson and I had another meeting with Steve to kind of talk about some of his concerns, and they continue to work on the case in that way. Had a updated meeting with NDOT this morning with Jeff on the 205 project. I hate to bring it up, but it's. Do you want to touch on that?
Well, I guess.
Both of us were
shaking our heads, but there was a very timeline meeting because there was four representatives from NDOT, the mayor, myself, and our consultant there, design engineer for the project, and. But we learned some very valuable information today that I don't think we would have known until it came time to bid the project out otherwise. And so I think that it was very important and a good meeting. We did find out today that the report was received back to us this week from SHPO, which is the State Historical Preservation Office, and you'll be surprised to learn that there's no significant findings of historic artifacts out there. So from their standpoint, we're good to go. That report has to go through DNR now, and then when approved through them, and I'll say when because we've been working with them all the way along, we're in lockstep on this. At that point, they'll forward it on to the National Parks Association, who should kick it back as approved as well. We looked and Structure Point is making every effort to expedite this process for us. As we all know, it's drug on for way too long. We're looking at probably November for the public hearing. We should have all the environmental issues reports back. There's not issues regarding it other than getting the reports back. And then the 6F mitigation and the option to purchase on the property. Once we have the public hearing, then we can start the process of reacquisition of public right-of-way for the properties that are impacted by this 0.42 mile stretch. And statutorily, the absolute minimum for that process is 6 months, because there's certain requirements for having it available to the public for comments and what have you. So we're looking at least 6 months after the public hearing, and NDOT always counts on 12 months in case there's any hiccups in the acquisition process. So we're looking at probably, you know, late summer for all that to be put to bed next year in 2003. And then at that point, it will go back into NDOT as a complete package, and they'll review it, and they've got specific timelines as well. So we could potentially be looking at a bid letting of spring of 2014 at this point.
Just so you know. I think it's fair to say that my displeasure probably came out multiple times during the meeting.
It did.
And I tried to tell Scott Kreitz that that I'm actually a pretty calm person, and that typically I'm pretty... In any case, point of the matter is that this project is going to drag on much longer than we expected. Okay, with that kind piece of news, the other thing I wanted to ask about, it was in the minutes. Marcia, on the MediaCom thing, have we gotten any farther on the MediaCom agreement?
Well, that evening I sent an email out to Jackie with the two requests I had to amend. I haven't heard anything, but Rosie got something from them, but not in line with you got money from them. But we didn't get. I haven't got any changes to the agreement, and the agreement's not signed. So
they paid us without having the agreement signed.
They gave us what we asked for in the land rent for the water department.
And
well, obviously, we didn't ask. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, that was a negotiated. It wasn't what we asked for.
Oh, it was not what we asked
for. No, not originally. No, we had asked for more than that.
Okay.
No.
That was what was in the contract.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No. We had asked for more than that.
Yeah.
But this was what we agreed to. So anyway, I just found that interesting that they sent Rosie something and they didn't respond to my email.
Okay.
That was 2 weeks ago. I think I did it that. Well, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't that night, but I did try to get back there.
That just means that it'll wait three weeks then, because I think the next Board of Works meeting is the way in which it falls.
Oh, okay.
It's 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I guess they're still they're paying us. So
they paid it. So
if we,
that's a good thing.
So does that mean if we accepted my payment that we're obligated to the contract?
Well, that actually is a good question. It's not that we don't want to be obligated to the contract. There were just two issues that I had to recall.
Need to be addressed.
There were two issues that I think that, you know, we could deal with, but it was a matter of we didn't want the agreement assigned and we didn't want to use property use as collateral. I think that both of those issues are probably things that would never happen. I just didn't like them in the contract. So it's not as if that they were provisions of the contract that were substantively, you know, something that we would absolutely let this thing go away. They were just things that I thought we should address.
Okay. That's all I have. I'm sorry for the long drawn out, but those are things I thought you should know about, so. Paul, do you have anything?
No, sir.
Rosie? Mark, do you have anything else?
No.
Okay, then I'll go ahead and dismiss non-utility board department heads. If you want, you can stay, obviously, if you'd like, but we'll move to the utility stuff. Larry, do you want to go ahead and start? We'll talk a little bit about South Whitley and about what you are thinking and what, you know, what I guess the conceptual piece is of the South Whitley project.
Yeah, of course, this has been an ongoing subject for at least the last 2 years. They have been conversing, and matter of fact, coming to my office with different thoughts and ideas. I got with Rosie. One of their things, is, of course, is what our labor fee would be. Also, the cost of our trucks and other equipment, and the materials that we may need to use. How do we go about that? We use theirs if they have it, ours if not, and things like that was brought up to me. So I put it in a form and went over it with Rosie and then with you, Mayor. And this is how my presentation went. And for each man, we'd have a charge of $50 an hour and time and a half on Saturdays and Sundays like we do here. Then their big question was, do you pay your men $50 an hour? And I said, no, but you got to show profit and overhead costs in that. And that's where I come up with $50. And they were very satisfied with that. They started doing their arithmetic on what they paid their man per year versus how many times we might possibly be down there. And they come up in favor of them because they were kind of thrilled about that. Then they wanted to know about our equipment. And I told them we charge $100 an hour for our trucks that we use, our digger trucks, bucket trucks, and our main heavy equipment. And they were very satisfied with that price because I guess they had some people down there to do some tree work and some other line work that charged quite a bit more than that. Then they wanted to know about trenching. I told them we charge $1.50 a foot for trenching, minimum $100, and they were satisfied with that. Then on the outage response, I told them that if the outage was great enough to include Columbia City in it, we came first. Hopefully, at that point, it wouldn't be severe enough. But if it was, then Columbia City was always going to come first. And then if it was like a mediocre storm, or, you know, we'd keep two crews here and could send one crew to South Whitley. And they were happy with that. And of course, as I said before, we would have a minimum charge of 3 hours per man on any outage that they might have. And they were happy with that response also. So, and it, that would be, of course, a time and a half. Most of the time would be after hours, or the after hour time would be a time and a half. And otherwise, it'd be the $50 fee. Of course, we went back to the materials then and said anything that South Whitley had that we would gladly use. They wanted us to come down, set up a time, come down and go over the lines and things with their linemen. Ron and I went down there one other time under Mayor Fleck and kind of went over everything, so we're somewhat familiar with it, but
still we would need to do more things, knowing about their loops and the different sources of how they can rerun different things in the city to, for their outages to be kept at a minimum while repairing the problems. I told them our electrical department would not be responsible for any tree trimming, any meter reading. Wanted to know who we answered to. They said something about requesting us to be down there, two men, at least 2 days a month to kind of go over things that they might be brought to their attention and needed tending to. I told them I didn't think we'd have a problem with that. I also expressed that we were not there in any way to take over their electrical department. They should be, at the time we're there helping them out, they should be advertising and stuff to try to get a replacement for the gentleman that they'll be losing, and that way we can fulfill our obligation of their coverage, and in the meantime they may find someone to take that position. But I guess they've been advertising for at least a couple of years with no responses. So, and the people in the audience seemed satisfied with the presentation. They were there thinking that this was a proposition for Columbia City to purchase the Southwood Electrical Department. And I said, no, that's not why we're here. But don't get me wrong, if it ever comes up to that, we would possibly like to put a bid. So that was basically all the things that they had asked of me to make a presentation that night. And I thought things went over very well. And I also let them know that if it did not work out for us in such a way that we were not obligated to continue our services, then their lawyer spoke up and said we'd have some kind of a conflict because our lawyer and their lawyer is from the same firm, so we would have to get some outsider to come up to an agreement if we ever reached that point. And that's kind of where we ended.
Well, I think I know the answer to this, but are they going to supply any type of data or information to you to maybe put on your mapping system?
Yes.
That way you guys are at least aware of what they have.
They have a map now, and I told them that we'd like to come down and GPS it to have on our records to know that when we get a call from them saying pole such and such has got a problem or in such an area, then we will look it up and know what's on that pole and so forth to possibly take a transformer or whatever might be needed in that case. So
now they have,
we did talk about that too.
So they have their own supplies, so if they got a 35-foot pole or 40-foot pole go down, they have their own supplies, or are they going to be using ours?
They have some poles. That's one of the things that they want us to do, and with the board's blessing, we would like to go down there next week and spend a couple of days and kind of inventory. You know, they have numerous pad-mount transformers for some reason, and they do have some poles and other different pieces of equipment and stuff that we could possibly use and materials.
So if, spinning off of your question, let's say they need a transformer.
Yeah.
Okay. They don't have one. We have one. Do we sell that to them to make it part of their asset so we don't carry the liability or the warranty on that transformer?
What we did in the past, because we have done this before.
Right.
We have taken our transformer down there, and within a certain amount of time, they have replaced it. So at that point, it becomes solely their responsibility of that transformer.
So what I hear you say is, in essence, they replace it. Because I think it's important to keep the assets separately.
Sure.
Okay.
Great.
So and with them replacing it versus them buying it from us, I don't know if that's good or bad in a
well,
tracking mechanism or accounting mechanism. I don't know. I'm just asking that, and obviously it's worked in the past.
At the time that was done, we took all the information off the transformer, knowing what transformer we put in service at Whitley in case this did blow up, and I understand what you're saying too.
The same thing has been done with us in RMC now.
Sure.
Both directions.
Right. I mean, I know that's, and again, I'm not questioning that at all. I think it's important to keep the assets independent, because obviously all we're providing is our knowledge, our skill sets, and our trucks and manpower.
Sure.
And I think whenever we do something for them, that transition of material should belong to them somehow.
Right.
However that ends up. But we don't want to be them to come back a year from now and say, hey, you remember that transformer you put in? It blew up again and it's out of warranty, you know.
No,
we don't want to get in the middle of that
one. In those cases that we've done that for them.
Right.
We've always had that replaced within like a 2 month period.
Okay. Again, I'm going to spin off some other questions. You're working on an outage, something malfunctions, and we damage people's property, appliances, or whatever. We've had that happen here at the city. We've been liable. If you're down there working for them, are you insured for them to take care of that liability if something malfunctions in that home because of an improper hookup?
See, that was not brought up, but that's why we're talking now, that we can write these things down and we'll get together again, and that would be a great something to know if we would be covered under their insurance, which I think that would have to be a must.
Right. So those would mean, again, accounting. What happens to the, I mean, when they send us a check, does it go to the utility electric department, which I assume it does, but does it go into a special account from, or does it just go in the general fund?
It'd go in the electric department. I'd have to have Buzz have a set up some kind of a special account, which they'd have to probably help us with on how to get reimbursed for.
They're doing like we are. They'll before their next, well, their meeting tonight, they'll probably bring up things that they didn't think about that night that I was there, like we're doing tonight, and possibly.
If you could send me a copy of what you presented, or the board a copy, then maybe we could just make notes on it and give it back to you for thoughts.
I did bring copies.
Okay. Because. You know, I guess I'm cautious to say, you know, your comment was you need to go back down and do more homework and fact-finding mission, but I think we need to proceed with caution, because I'd hate to go down there and do all this work and then all of a sudden they say, well, thanks, but no thanks. I don't know when the time is right to say, yeah, that's what we want to do, but I think obviously it needs to be done, but I think they have ownership, too, to tell us and to assist us instead of take all of our manpower to tell them what they got and what they need. And so I don't know if we're at that stage in time, if we're really ready to go do that inventory. I don't know.
Are you saying the GPSing of the system and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I don't know. You mentioned they want to go back down to do more inventory or see what they got, or
they thought for our information said it would be very helpful to know what they had, which definitely would be, like poles, transformers, and other materials, and to know the source where their power comes from? Do they have one switching mechanism, two, or how's the city divided up in sections, kind of like ours is, or is it, has the capabilities of backfeeding a certain area that's out, so you have a minimum of people having outages instead of everybody down, you know? Those are the things that would interest us so that we would know when we went down there that, hey, this section is controlled by switch number so-and-so, and if we turn switch this switch off, we can backfeed it from another source and things like that, which Dave, their electrical person, is very knowledgeable of the system.
Well, I'm surprised that they don't have an inventory of their or their supplies, because I think that's something you had mentioned that you wanted to take a look at. I'm surprised that they don't have an inventory of some sort. We have an inventory of our supplies, correct?
Yes, we do.
Okay. I guess I'm just surprised that South Whitley doesn't.
$500,000 worth.
say that again.
$500,000 worth.
Okay. Well, I guess, and that's what, you know, and I think Walt brings up a real good point is that, you know, with us going and spending a considerable amount of time down in South Whitley, I mean, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Yes, we go down and we get a better understanding of where their system is and what they have and all kinds of that stuff, but at the same time, we've not entered into an agreement with them, so we're basically providing them we're providing ourselves, but we're also providing them a free service of saying, hey, we're going to give you an inventory, basically, of what all your stuff is without charging you for it.
In no way I told them that anytime we were down there, it should be a paid visit.
Okay.
So they understand. And I asked about maps, and they went back. They were unable to find maps. I think their bookkeeping and things have been very loose in the past, and they readily admitted that, and they were going to go through different things to see what they could come up with to be of our assistance.
Mm-hmm. Right, and Larry, I think we're saying the same thing, and you've acknowledged that they know that there would be a fee.
Right.
But until that fee is agreed upon and the scope of work that they want to have done, and then actually a contract signed for that piece of work, you know, I think we need to run this just as our own business to provide that service to them as consulting.
Sure.
I mean, I...
But like I say, my presentation, I told them, was nothing binding because it had to be brought up before our board.
Sure.
And you folks would probably have some ideas that they didn't think about, because all these questions that I give answers to was brought up by them, was things that they wanted to know, and things I give them the information on, and that's how my presentation went. Not that I had brought this up on my own, because they had got with me wanting to know these costs.
And again, I'm very supportive of the event. As I said, proceed with caution. That's just kind of what I was saying. We there's a lot of unknowns here yet work through this.
Like you said, there's a lot of unknowns. We may go down there and get to looking around and say, hey, we don't want this, you know. But we need to do this in a quick fashion, because Dave is leaving the 1st of October, and then they will be without coverage.
Somebody's got to do up an agreement. I don't know.
Well,
and Greg had talked about that, and Marsh, I don't know if we've talked about that yet, but we do need to have, you know, obviously after the board gives the blessing, if you will, and South Whitley says, yes, that's definitely where we want to go, then we need to have an outside party, as Larry had mentioned, that is not at Myers Tyson.
Well, what our thought was that we actually could work on it so that we could save some costs with outside counsel and then provide an opportunity to both South Whitley and to Columbia City, you know, without our input, of course, to have that reviewed by outside counsel. That way we can, you know, work on the agreement and then have the opportunity to go outside. And we just thought that would be the easiest way to handle this. Mm-hmm.
But I do agree with Walt that if you guys are going to go down and spend considerable man hours on the inventorying, is that the right word? Anyways, of the system and of the the supplies and the stuff that they have, that we either should do that after the contract is signed or do it with a fee. And that fee needs to be, would it just be, I guess, our regular fees for service? Or we charge other people?
I don't think it would be our $50 an hour.
Yeah, I don't think they want to do it afterwards, the agreement signed, because they may decide they don't want to do it.
Oh, but that's what I'm just saying, though, is I think we need to charge for us going down there. So if we already have established fees, then South Whitley needs to understand that if you're going to go down and do that inventory of their system, that it's going to be on this fee schedule as we would charge anybody else.
It was told to them that night in that fashion that any...
Yeah, but you have to understand consulting fees are different than... Pardon? I mean, the consulting fees are totally different than electric, what I call our electric department fees. Because they're physically going to do the work, where I think an engineer or a consulting person would be totally different.
Well, you're not doing an actual inventory, are you?
Well, see, I think the definition of inventory...
Well, that's what I'm trying to verify.
From what I'm hearing Larry say is we're just sending the guys down there to look over the system so they understand how the system works.
Right.
Not that we're going to count transformers and poles and footage of line. We're going to go down, okay, like he said, if we're, you know, if something goes out there, they'll know which switch to flip, so which, you know, how to backfeed another, backfeed those lines. I don't think that's how I heard it. It's basically learning how the system works. You're not going to go down and inventory, you know, do that job for them. They just, I mean, if you're going to go down and work on a system, you have to know how the mechanics of it is, like the car, how the engine runs.
But the urgency is on South Whitley to get all their ducks in a row for us to come in.
I agree with that.
I mean, yeah. That's why I'm just saying we want to be supported, but yet we also don't. We just got to think through that process. And I think if the assets belong to them, it's their choice how they inventory their assets. And then it's up to them to train us or for us to help as a collaboration to figure out what they got, because as you said, they're not 100% sure, and there's only one guy that really knows.
Dennis thought that they had a inventory list somewhere, and they were going to be trying to find this piece of information for us along with some maps.
Okay, then let's call it a walkthrough. That you're going to do a walkthrough with Dennis and who's the other gentleman? I'm sorry.
Dave.
That you're just going to do a walkthrough of the system just so that you have an idea of where things are at. You're not going to do a full inventory. You're not going to do anything like that. You're just going to walk through with the guys who know the system and say, here's this, here's this, here's this.
I couldn't make that expert call. I don't know what they got to do to feel comfortable of running the business. I couldn't make that call.
That was my interpretation. What my inventory was meant was not ever nut, bolt, screw, or whatever.
Okay.
It was the inventory of the system to know locations of switches and different things like that.
So it's basically the main components of the system that you want to find out about.
We know the backbone of the system. We know where the feed comes from. We know it comes from Duke. I know they got one point of entry.
Why would we do that before we go into the agreement?
Before we go into the agreement? Well, I think it seems to me that Larry wants to feel comfortable with that the system is enough like ours, or, you know, that he knows the system enough that he can make an educated decision as to how many hours are actually going to be needed to be there and that kind of stuff. Is that kind of what you're getting at, Larry?
Right.
I'm not saying I mean, like I said, I depending on what the what you're going to do, there maybe there should be fees or maybe there shouldn't. If you're going to do a half an hour walkthrough of here's the switches, here's the stuff, you know, here's the transformers, all that kind of stuff, and it's only going to take you a half an hour, then it's not worth charging. Now, if it's going to take you a day...
Well, it's going to take at least a day.
Okay, so I think that there should be charges there.
And I expressed that to him.
Mm-hmm. What would be... Let me ask this question, Larry. What would be the... What would be enough to scare you away from wanting to... Maybe that's an unfair question, but what would be enough to scare you away from doing this agreement? Would there be something that would come up in the inventory walkthrough, whatever you want to call it? Would there be something that could come up that you say, ugh, I'm not sure now that we want to step in this hornet's nest kind of
thing? There's one thing already.
Okay.
Trees.
Mm-hmm.
Their trees haven't been trimmed or cut for 10 years. They said they would have been contacting a tree service and was going to start some of their most critical, because when Ron and I were down there last year or the year before, we seen several spots that have really were burned, you know, from lack of maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the secret of that is preventative maintenance, which I expressed today at that time we were down there.
So I wonder if that could be a provision of the contract or whatever that says that the town of South Whitley, you know, basically should or must hire a tree trimmer or a pruner or something to protect the lines. Yeah, I mean, because obviously South Whitley will be saving a lot of money with this project, right? I mean, they, outside of paying somebody salary and wages, paying Columbia City Electric to come in twice a month with...
And, you know, that was just a number thrown out. We may have to be down there three times or four times, maybe down once.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be invited
upon
to be down there.
Circumstances.
Right. We just don't go.
Yeah, but they would... I mean, they would... invite us down there, right? They would be the ones that would say, we want you to be down here this amount of times, with the understanding that we're basically in the contract, the proposed contract, we would say our baseline is we will be there 2 days. Any additional days on that, you know, is basically up to what manpower you have and your availability.
Over and above our agreement, yeah.
So I think probably what would be helpful then, Larry, is if you could send the Board of Works this proposal, and we'll all take a look at it, write down additional comments, think about it, and then come back. Let's see. We probably would still be okay. August?
I have them tonight.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking we could talk about these at the last meeting in August then.
Sure.
And that still gives us basically 2 months to, you know, timeline-wise for South Whitley.
Yeah.
Does that sound okay? Well, Dan? Okay.
Good.
Sounds good. Thank you, Larry. Yeah. You want to report on your actual department now?
Anything? We, sure. We replaced some poles in the country. Got a couple of services that are pending. You'd be surprised what the rain has done to what we were out there working in as powder. Now is basically just mud, and it's put a little crimp on them two services out there at Crooked Lake. Changed a couple of poles at Westgate, and while the weather has been in favor of us and the certain places has dried up, we've been taking advantage of the trimming in those places. So that's basically what we've been trying to take advantage of while this hot weather's here.
Okay. Great. Okay, any other questions, Larry? Okay, Mike. Fire department.
Yeah, we pressure tested the new main on 300 block of South Line Street, and as of today, we got all five houses on that block switched over to the new main. We fixed three small leaks last week, one at the South Water Tower, another one on Azuba Court, and one on Radio Road. So they were just real small ones, but as dry as it was, they showed up pretty easy. So, and then today we had a sanitary survey inspection by IDEM, went through that flying colors, so that was pretty easy. And then our pumpage last week is down about 200,000 gallons a day, and actually this week's dropping a lot more since more it's raining, that it keeps right on dropping. So other than that, we're going to start tying the intersection of Spencer Street in this week, weather permitting, and there's still like 300 feet of pipe to go until we have that job done. So that's about it.
Do you want to touch on maybe the dump site thing very briefly, and then also, I don't know if you want to talk about the NIPSCO thing, let the board know.
It's kind of okay. Yeah. Oh, it's probably been a month ago when we were digging on Line Street. We hit a gas line that was unmarked. Then we received a letter through the IURC that they're going to investigate that hit, and they could fine us up to $10,000. It's just something that they're starting to do. Anytime something is damaged, it gets turned into IURC. So for some reason, I don't know why, I mean, they're there to protect ratepayers, and this is just going to drive rates up if they keep doing stuff like this. But so they're going to investigate that. There was three different people, two from the locating company and one from NIPSCO, tried to locate the line. None of them could locate it. They all kept going over to the one that we did uncover that was marked. So I just had to wait and see how it turns out. And then so at the dump site,
thing is, it wasn't our fault. I mean, yeah. If the locating service did not find the second line, so when we hit the second line,
yeah,
we didn't know it was there.
We could have called for locate every day, and as long as they can't pick it up, they're not going to be able to mark it. So, and then over at the dump site, I'm working with a company to do some paperwork on that dump site. Our local soil and water turned us in to Army Corps engineers. So, on Beauchesne's property, yeah. Army Corps has no jurisdiction. They turned it over to IDEM. IDEM didn't really say a whole lot. They just thought maybe we should do a paper trail. In talking with some other individuals this afternoon, there is a 75-foot right-of-way each side of that tile for maintenance purposes, which if the tile did become repaired and this was dry and she was to mow it in 2 years, there's nothing that can be done. I mean, you have a right to maintain any kind of tile through any kind of a wetland. So it's really, right now it's everybody's own opinion on what it is. But I have a company out of Walkerton, Indiana. It's going to come down and do paperwork to satisfy IDEM right now. And then at that time, we'll probably go ahead and see about repairing the tile so Mrs. Beauchesne can mow her backyard. So that's about it.
Questions of Mike? Thank you, Mike. Jeff?
Is that a regulated tile?
It's a county tile.
So you have to go through the county engineer to get permission then?
That's who I spoke to today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But you didn't say that. I wanted to make sure that that was the case, because they always like to make sure that we touch bases with them. So
I've dealt with him for a year on it, so.
I know. Okay. Before Chief LaRue left, he informed me that I inadvertently gave a date of 2003 on the
I knew what you meant.
205 project. That was probably a subconscious Freudian slip because it feels like it's been that long since we started working on it. It was 2013, my apologies. As far as the stormwater utility, the mayor and I recently met with Nadine Lamley and Gene Haskins regarding the agreement that is due to expire next month. And Gene and I will be sitting down next week to better delineate and spell out responsibilities. I think that we've done a pretty good job with the agreement in the past, but I think that there's some specific dates that need to be understood and agreed upon by the two parties. So we're working on that. I've started the stormwater annual report that the reporting year ended June 30th, and the report will be due to IDEM this fall. As of today, the all the training, annual training on the stormwater good housekeeping measures was completed. There's actually another training for illicit discharge detection elimination, but at this point I got enough flack from one of the department heads, so I'm going to hold off until a little later. He seems to be pretty grouchy these days, so that's all I've got to say.
Okay. Any further questions of Jeff?
On the negotiating with Gene Haskins, how necessary is that position here? I mean, why are we paying? It seems like we're getting more headache than I mean, dealing with situations over in the county and seeing how that office operates, it just seems like they create things that are more trying to create a job for themselves and really doing what's really good for our community. So I'm just kind of curious, you know, is that a position that we have to have here?
Short answer is that we've got obligations to IDEM for those Rule 13 program that can be dealt with by having internal staff do it or external contracted. And when we broke out what we felt a budget would be, the previous administration, Dan, felt that was in our best interest to contract it out. We could certainly look at bringing it back in-house, but it's going to require additional resources someplace.
I wouldn't mind, you know, just at least checking that out to see what, you know, if it's going to be a cost savings or not. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to.
Would that be a new? Would that be a new staff person?
It depends. It depends how deep you want to go with skill levels, and to meet the requirements that require your certifications to qualify to do the reports. Am I right, Jeff? I mean,
it's going to take.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's why one reason why we're meeting is because there's. I don't have enough hours to do the administration in-house myself and along with other responsibilities, and that office has not picked up the responsibilities necessary, so we need to transfer those over in an effective manner to them, and because we're not, quite honestly, we're not meeting the minimum obligations of the program, and the requirements only continue to build. As of July 1st, the council approved an IDDE program that's self-implementing. There's going to be inspections of about 70 to 75 outfalls, stormwater outfalls in the system, an inspection and monitoring of those, along with what was already in place. So there's additional requirements that keep coming on board with that program.
Jeff, how many years have we been into the official waste or stormwater? Is it 6 years?
This is 7 years.
7 years.
Yeah.
and again, to try to give you a little bit of history, 7 years ago, this discussion was how do we handle the requirements, okay? And with many duties at that time that everybody had, it fell into Jeff's umbrella, under Jeff's umbrella, to take that ownership and then to subsidize it financially was the best choice, as well as what we did. Now, that was 7 years ago. I think it's worthwhile taking a step back with all the changes that's happened over the 7 years, because back 7 years ago, we couldn't justify a full-time person to do that, okay? But with all the mandates of IDEM and stormwater, you know, it's probably worth a revisit, but it's something that's very complex, I'll put it that way. And I think it's worth looking at, but I wouldn't make any rush judgments to it. So.
I was just curious on how, let's see how things work. Like some of the things that I understand, the set of requirements that we have to follow, I'm just saying.
I think Gene has done an excellent job for the criteria that we've asked him to do. I think the his efforts have been great, because obviously I know he's been out on weekends and different public programs and schools. And, okay, so but those are requirements. Those aren't just something he's electing to do. And again, those are things that we need to consider if we pull that back in house, and then the cost of that.
And I'm not taking anything away from Gene. I'm just saying that office seems to be searching things to do, which creates headaches for us. That. Quite honestly, is a little frustrating to me to watch. See, so have lack of common sense.
I'm open for a review to sit down and look at it.
Okay. Well, Jeff, do you want to maybe
put in
do some cost benefit analysis as to, you know, where we go in the future? I know that. You know, as in our sit down, obviously we had talked about a potential contract, a continuing contract, I guess, if you will, or a newly defined contract. But in any case, I think having some comparison as to if we were to do it in-house versus contracting out, cost-wise, efficiency-wise, effectiveness, all those kind of things. And I know there's still a lot of variables that are taking place right now, but if there's something that we could work out that would have some sort of concreteness that we could kind of sink our teeth into.
Walt hit the nail on the head when he said that the program can be as much or as little as, I mean, you can really fully develop a program, just the rain barrel program up in Angola. It has a very thriving program as part of their stormwater. And as it stands right now, we don't have anything like that as far as public education, outreach, participation, those kind of requirements. You can actually really sink your teeth into it and have a lot of outreach programs.
I mean, I understand the complexity of things. It's just sometimes it just gets overwhelming that some of it just doesn't make sense.
Well, Larry said he'd pay for it, so.
Oh, okay. You're all right.
As long as we get South Willie.
Master negotiator. Okay. Any other issues, Jeff? Okay. Any other questions, Jeff? Okay. Anything else for the good of the cause? Great, then we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.